Money and markets. The dance over asserting control over Iran continues to twist and turn. We have Bloomberg reporting today that the European Union embargo on imports is going to have to wait for 6 months to let countries like Greece, Italy, and Spain find alternative supplies. Just reminds you of what an interdependent world. And in fact, the embargo is likely to include an exemption for Italy so that crude can be sold off to pay debts for one of the Rome's, for Italy's largest oil company. So the interdependence and the high debt loans everywhere really make for it strange to have a fight. Discussions on Iran competed for attention in the European capitals this week with a growing realization that Greece pulling out of the euro is very likely. Going back to the drachma gives Greece the ability to engage in competitive devaluations, which at this point is really a must. But the profitability of the central banking model for the tricksters continues unabated. While Europeans and American taxpayers continue to bail out the bankers right and left, J.P. Morgan is now announced to project a reported, or is projected to report a record $18.5 billion in profits for the 2011 calendar and fiscal year. So that means when J.P. Morgan very profitably grabbed the customer accounts at MF Global, it was not because they were in financial trouble. And it just underscores the possibility that MF Global may have been a money-making hit deep into farm country in the precious metals market. With farmers losing over $1 billion, no doubt there will be family farms having to sell land. There's a very interesting radio show on that topic that I put up on the blog this week. You can find it in Top Picks. The Carlyle founders, Carlyle of Washington, big venture capitalist and buyout firm, involved very much with defense and national security. The Carlyle founders paid themselves $137 million each. The founders of the Carlyle Group split more than $413 million in compensation last year, the private equity giant revealed in a filing for its impending initial public offering. That story is up on the blog. However, all of this was not as profitable for the U.S. government. Obama sent a request to Congress this week for $1 trillion debt ceiling increase, expect to see some more fireworks. They're expected to vote January 18th. That's in 6 days. So what's good for the tricksters is not good for the government or the taxpayers. However, the U.S. Government continued to do its bit to protect American business interests. I talked earlier through 2011 about the sort of U.S. hit on Japan. As soon as the United States bought into General Motors, then suddenly Toyota started having safety recalls and all sorts of regulatory problems. Of course, then we see Fukushima. And, of course, who gets hit hard? It's the Japanese car makers. One of the people who went on the board of General Motors after the United States government bought was Dave Bonderman of the Texas Pacific Group, now TPG. It's a buyout firm with a very scary reputation. They have private-related interests in General Motors dealerships in Asia, so you wonder how good Fukushima was for them. Bonderman is now reported today to be on the considering buying American Airlines, and the American Airlines story continues to get more dirty. First, they get put into bankruptcy, which strips the laborers and unions. Then they delist them, which strips the shareholders and any speculators who came in after the bankruptcy filing. That means that Delta or Bonderman, and I believe there's one other bidder, will probably get them relatively cheap, and it looks like they can make more profit. So it's you look back, you stand back and look at the whole process, and what we're saying is we're stripping out the financial interests of a whole bunch of parties, and then the sort of disaster capitalist guys can come in and take it cheap. But the dirty games were in high gear this week, not on Japan, but on the Swiss. And as you watched everything unfold, you knew there was a bigger story there. Vagelin Bank, which is famous in 2009 for writing a beautiful piece. It's the oldest private Swiss bank. It was started in the 1700s, and its partners have unlimited liability, wrote a beautiful piece in 2009 called Goodbye America. It's up on the blog, and we put related links on this week's commentary on the twists and turns of the U.S. war on Vagelin. But they stopped doing business in America or with Americans. This week it was announced they were negotiating with the Department of Justice, who was threatening criminal action. And you sort of wonder what happens to anybody who publicly rejects America. suddenly Novartis, the big Swiss pharmaceutical, was struggling with an FDA recall. And then the Swiss National Bank president, expected to support the Veglin position, resigns in what looks like an intelligence operation. Somebody dished out all the data on his wife's currency trading and before the devaluation of the Swiss franc, and so he resigns. What exactly the connection is to the sort of continued hit on Swiss banks, we don't know, but we're reminded of the Department of Justice declaring a criminal investigation on S&P after they downgraded their ratings. Now, throughout the week, I've had many people say to me that they're concerned for capital controls, but what we're watching with sort of using the Department of Justice criminal investigation and indictment authority is real capital controls. So we're watching an economic warfare, and if you look at all the rabbits they can pull out of the hat to do these kinds of things, it's hard for me to manage or imagine that they would put formal capital controls on. These things are far more effective. Question mark about what's happening here in the United States. We saw at the end of last year the Congress pass the National Defense Authorization Act with a provision to detain U.S. citizens without trial or charge. Now we have Congress apparently considering H.R. 3166 and S. 1698, also known as the Enemy Expatriation Act. Apparently, it would give the U.S. government the power to strip Americans of their citizenship. Now, that is completely unconstitutional, but you can see the extent to which this is getting very insecure. And we'll be asking our attorney to look into that one more and talking about it more. Throughout last week and throughout, you know, certainly 2011 was a year of great volatility in the markets, but it was interesting all this last week where we watched the continued volatility in the financial markets matched with continued volatility in weather. Reports coming in from all over the country as well as all around the world about very unusual weather patterns and at the same time volatility of mood. And so whether it's the money, it's the environment, or it's the morale, we all seem to be living with volatility as the change accelerates.